I ask that you remain standing for our scripture lesson for the sermon. Yes. Where's Andy? There he is. It is Proverbs 1, 1 through 7. Okay? Proverbs. The word of the living God. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. This is the word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, cause your word to sink deeply into our hearing, and may it affect our every limb, the way that we live and walk and move. May it affect our thinking and our speech, and all of this to the glory of your glorious name. We pray in the name of Jesus, and amen. You may be seated. By this time next week, unless there are some dangling chads, or whatever the 2016 version of that might be, barring some other accusatory, litigious, vicious, revolutionary, or raging revolt of the people, or martial lawyering upon the people, we will know who will be elected as the next president of these United States to be inaugurated in January of next year. Either way, either candidate, either party, we will receive what our Lord has purposed for us to receive. We will have the candidate of our own deserving. And it is possible, very possible, indeed likely, that blindness of some form will continue and we will not see, surely not fully, what is going on. We have been in this for a while, and there have been cries of the people and by the people and for the people, and we may very well receive what we have requested. Do note, our Lord has, in the past, given people, even those who actually were His people, a ruler of their own desires. This is before us, and even imagining the worst, our Lord is not dethroned. Our Lord has established His King, setting Him upon His throne, and even though the nations rage and the peoples imagine a vain thing, this remains true. Either way, there will be loud cries of violations and rigging, assertions of takeover. Either way, and with either candidate, there will be variations of the questions. What has happened to our country? How did we get here? As well as the ever-increasing talk of a land abandoned, and for some, they may consider their own abandonment as well. What about another country? I know we are not now, and by this time next week, we will have not elected a pastor. We all know that this was for the office of president, stated to be and considered by some to be the highest elected office in our country. We all also know, even if it may be rather unpopular to speak in this way, that our Lord will hold accountable and judge those who lead people. He will judge them according to His own righteous standard, His own righteous character, His own holiness, His own law. Whoever leads as mayor, governor, king, or president is supposed to do so in the fear of God, in the fear of the Lord, and this fear, according to our Lord's own revelation, is the beginning of wisdom. wisdom. As Christians, we long for wisdom to be present in those who hold positions of leadership, whether they be elected or appointed. We also desire wisdom for our own decisions, and there are people who are pursuing wisdom that may differ with one another. Wisdom, however, is not present anywhere. Wisdom is not present anywhere unless it is preceded by the fear of the Lord. Once again, wisdom is not present in a congressman or a child unless it is preceded by the fear of the Lord. It is not present in the laborer, in the tower, in the field, at the desk, in the shop, in the office, unless preceded by the fear of the Lord. No one is wise or has wisdom apart from the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning, the starting point, the first breath, the first step of wisdom. Let me put it this way. When the fear of the Lord is absent, wisdom is absent as well. Peter Kreeft says it well. Perhaps the main reason why the wisdom of the Proverbs is missing from the modern world is that its source, the fear of the Lord, is missing. So today, a single sermon on Proverbs, not the whole book, just a peek within Proverbs, a fearful wisdom. It's a wisdom which is full of fear. The fear of God. What is the fear of God? Well, we need to begin with this. It means fear. So often you'll hear a Bible teacher or a preacher or someone say, well, really what it means is to honor and to respect and to obey. Yes, that's all there, but it also means to fear. It has been rightly stated that law without penalty is just a suggestion. Walter Kaiser, in his fine book, Toward an Old Testament Theology, deals with the fear of God because we tend to think that when we come to Proverbs, oh, this fear of the Lord, the fear of God is new here. No, it's built upon the Lord's revelation prior. So Walter Kaiser, as a theologian, says, what is this fear of God in Deuteronomy? That's where it's found. It's rooted, it's grounded, and it's built up like a wondrous tree. He says this fear was not a worked-up feeling of some numinous awe, but it was the result of hearing, learning, and responding to God's Word. I'd like to give you a summary. And you're welcome to flip into these verses in your Bible. Turn to Deuteronomy. The first passage I'm going to read is Deuteronomy 8:6. Deuteronomy 8:6. Write these down, read them later. There are many other passages. Do a whole study through Deuteronomy on the fear of God. Deuteronomy 8:6. By the way, you know that Deuteros Namas means second law. The people of God were getting ready to enter into the land, and the Lord says, by this you shall live. By these precepts you shall march. By these laws you shall conduct yourselves. I'm going to give you the law a second time. Deuteros Namas. Second law. Deuteronomy 8:6. The fear of God includes keeping His commands. So some people say, you know what, I fear God. I shake and I tremble. Well, you know what? The demons believe and they tremble. That doesn't mean they obey God. Deuteronomy 8:6. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in His ways and to fear Him. Oh, that's what it means, keeping His commandments. But as you were to read through the book of Deuteronomy, we're going to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10 now. You're going to find that fearing God means walking after the Lord. How does the Lord expect me to walk? He leads the way. In your light, I see light, and I shall walk that way. It means to serve the Lord. It means to love the Lord. It means to adhere to, cleave to the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? This is what the Lord requires of you, to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. What else? Verse 13, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for your good. That's what it means to fear God, to obey God. It's that simple. If we were to do a scratch and a sniff, if I was to say, okay, do you fear God? Most people are going to want a bobblehead and say, yes, I do. So let's ask this question. Do you obey the Lord? Do you keep his commandments? Do you adhere to the Lord? As you go through the book of Deuteronomy, you'll find this, that the fear of the Lord is something that needs to be learned. It's not something that just falls off of a tree because gravity is pulling. The fear of the Lord is something that needs to be learned. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 23. But if the journey, and by the way, this is in a worship context about bringing the tithe, showing up at the temple after the Lord establishes his name in Jerusalem. Verse 24, if the journey is too long for you so that you are not able to carry the tithe, or if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far from you, excuse me, I think I have the wrong passage here. Verse 23, I was reading the wrong verse. Somebody's out there is going, he's reading the wrong verse. You know, you could have a little light here. Wrong verse. Verse 23. With regard to verse 22, you're to bring the tithe, and then there's this offering, a peace offering where you eat this sacrifice. Look at verse 23. And you shall eat it before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide. The tithe of your grain, your new wine, your oil, the firstborn of your herds and your flock, so that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. So even then, the ritual of worship is a way to be trained in the fear of God. So sometimes you may walk in and go, oh, do you realize the importance of learning habits? It was just a couple of months ago, one of the young ladies in this congregation asked me, Pastor Neil, why do we end our prayer of confession with the same statement week after week? And I said, that's a great question. Thanks for asking. I said, we're not required to do that. She goes, well, I want to know why you want it. I said, thank you for asking. I will tell you. Because when we confess our sins, we trust the Lord to be faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And therefore, we then reply together, consistently, learning the ritual, the habit. O Lord, we give you thanks for your kindness and abundant pardon provided through your Son who has died for us, taking the penalty which was our due. You have received us in him. Now grant most... We say the same. Why? To remind us of the consistency, the faithfulness of the Lord. We don't have to do that, but that's one reason why. We'll likely change that someday. But the ritual of liturgy is actually a way of training us in the fear of the Lord. You know, C.S. Lewis talks about the liturgical fidget, you know, with the incessant lightenings and brightenings and lengthenings and shortenings and always. He called that the liturgical fidget. And so, by the way, I can see some people fidget. You know, it's always something, some novelty. Whatever happened to consistency? Anyway, all the way through the book of Deuteronomy, we are to learn the fear of the Lord. How? Does the Lord say, hey, by the way, you need to learn the fear of the Lord? You got to figure it out on your own. You're on your own. Let me see how you do. No, it doesn't work that way at all. Briefly, the biblical book of Proverbs is all about wisdom. We could speak of it this way. Wisdom in every way for every day. I'm going to end this sermon by speaking of some of the things that Proverbs speaks of, and you might be amazed. Yeah, the shoe leather of Proverbs. Yes. Proverbs is considered to be part of the wisdom literature of the Bible, along with Job and Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon and some of the Psalms. So here we go. And I just realized this. You know, last week, we began reading through the Proverbs at the beginning of our worship service. Forgot to do so today. I just went right over that. Some of you should have had the light going off again. So, We'll do this at the end of the service today. Last week we started reading through the Proverbs at the beginning of our worship service, and Lord willing, we intend to do so for the next year at least. As with everything else in our worship gathering, this is intentional. It was suggested. Daniel, thank you very much. It was suggested that we do this after we finished going through a catechism. We've gone through various catechisms in our worship time here, but why not go through this book of wisdom? It's a great idea, and this fits in with our word-saturated approach to worship. Okay, so I think because of this, it's important for us to pause and talk about the biblical book of Proverbs today. All right, last week we read the first seven verses. You know what those are? That's an introduction to the whole book of Proverbs. I was just blessed at the beginning of the service today. Andy came up to me. He has these first seven verses memorized. Andy came up and said, I got something to say to you. And he recited the first seven verses. That's the beginning of the book of Proverbs. You get that? You know where the book of Proverbs is going. Now I know what the book of Proverbs is about. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to just take a brief look at these seven verses. And I'm going to challenge you. Parents, non-parents, children, whatever age, read these first seven verses again and again and again. And ask yourself, where am I? Do I welcome this? Do I want to pursue this? This is wonderful. So in the first seven verses, you find the goals, the aim, the objective, or the target of what Proverbs is all about. Take a look at the word in English, too. Why are you going to Proverbs? To do this. What else? To do this. To do this. So it goes two and two and two, 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 two. Look at verse two. To know wisdom and instruction. To perceive the words of understanding. Verse three. To receive the instruction of wisdom. Verse four. To give prudence to the simple. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. Verse six. To understand a proverb and an enigma. That's what the Proverbs are here for. Okay? So today, we're going to take a stroll within and through these first seven verses. Just a stroll. Why? What's the desire? Well, to get us into the Proverbs. But there's a greater desire. It's to get the Proverbs into you. To get the Proverbs into us. Okay? Basic points. Most of us know that there are 31 Proverbs. 31 Proverbs. This is why Proverbs have commonly been used one a day for a month. I did that for, I don't know, a year, year and a half. Every morning, first of the month, I'd read Proverbs 1. Second day of the month, I'd read Proverbs 2. And then somebody go, what did you do with February? I read more. I mean, 28 days, and what if it was a weird month? What if it was only 30 days? Well, I'd read 2 at the end. Proverbs has often been used that way devotionally, over and over again. I know of a man who read the Proverbs so often with his family that he got to the point as his children got older that he would do this. The curse of the Lord is on the, and his children would fill in the blank, house of the wicked. But he blesses the home of the just. Proverbs 3:33. They didn't necessarily know the address, the specific chapter and verse, but they knew the content. They had the Proverbs were getting into the children. Read it over and over and over again. We tend to, you know what? I finished it. Good. Check mark. Oh, done. Proverbs is given to that. It's helpful in that way. By the way, it's also one of those books of the Bible that verse divisions make sense. The verses make sense. Okay, one other thing about Proverbs, they tend to stick with you. The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels. And you're all going, yeah, they are. Somebody's, and what do? We lean into it. Hey, dainty morsel. Wisdom. Here we go. Wisdom is earthy. Wisdom in the walk of life. Wisdom in Proverbs is related to the dirt of the earth, the paths of our life, and the stuff which blows around. Wisdom, Proverbs is deeply practical. Derek Kidner said, Proverbs is a course of education
in the life of wisdom.
You want to? You know, what course did you enroll? Well, I enrolled in the course of wisdom for life, Proverbs. Good.
Proverbs is not at all some kind of data on tap. Like if you walk up to a tap and you want to just fill your mug, all you need to do is walk up and just fill your head.
Proverbs doesn't work that way, because you can get the data in your skull and then not do anything with it, and you're considered a fool. That's what the Proverbs say. Proverbs, very direct.
James, by the way, very direct. That's foolish. And we today, how dare you talk that way? Who you?
That's foolishness. That's just ridiculous sensuality. Don't do that.
That's why James says, to him who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it's sin.
It's not just raw data transfer here. Okay. By the way, there are something else about wisdom. Wisdom is not how much you know, biblically speaking. Wisdom isn't being able to cite chapter and verse. That's not wisdom. Wisdom is not just about knowledge, about how much someone knows, because wisdom is moral, ethical. It results in it shows how you live. It shows how you live. Knowledge applied, you could say. You can have a lot of very smart people who do not have any wisdom. There are people very skilled in their field. They may be best in their field, best in the office, best in class, most published, the most raises, the most incentives reached. They may be the most quoted or have the most awards or the most likely to succeed again. And without the fear of God and without wisdom, they can still be a fool. There are a lot of fools that publish very fat books.
Wisdom in the Bible is a very near parallel or a synonym for righteousness, godly conduct. And this is because it starts with the fear of God.
All right, so Proverbs 1, 1 through 7, very briefly, here we go. Let's take a quick walk through this, and then I encourage, memorize it. Memorize it like Andy did. Memorize these first seven verses, and then get the Proverbs into you. But what are the Proverbs about? We know these are the Proverbs of Solomon. By the way, he wrote many more Proverbs than these. This is not a Bible study on Proverbs. This is a sermon on Proverbs, so I'm not going to get into that. Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, who was the king of Israel. Purpose, to know wisdom and instruction, right here in verse 2, to perceive the words of understanding. Deity, godness, is the concern right from the beginning. Who's in charge? Who is God? You or another? This wisdom is not something within, inherent, like eye color or DNA. This wisdom must be given, acquired, received. There's bad news and there's good news. The bad news is this: we do not have this wisdom in and of ourselves, no matter how smart or how many degrees we think that we have, or how smart we think we are. It's the bad news. We do not have this wisdom in and of ourselves. The good news: the Lord is kind, He is good all the time, and He gives wisdom. Proverbs 2, verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom, from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. You don't have wisdom? Ask. That's what James says. If any of you lacks wisdom, but you know something? You're not going to ask for wisdom if you don't think you lack wisdom. And people that think they're God don't think they lack wisdom. That's why right out of the chute, the issue is deity or godness. Proverbs are given so that you may know wisdom and instruction. And if you go, you know what, I already know it, I'm good. Talk to you later, bye-bye. You're not going to make it because you think you're God. The Lord is kind. James says that this is the wisdom from above. And if any of you lacks wisdom,
Ask of the Lord, and you know what the Lord will do? He will give to you without making fun of you. The Lord gives wisdom, and He will not mock you or reproach you because He loves the humble. He opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. You know what, Lord, I lack wisdom. So we open up Proverbs and we should pray this way. Heavenly Father, may we know wisdom and instruction and perceive words of understanding. I lack this, and You are the giver of every good and perfect gift. Grant us wisdom. Teach your children to pray that way. Proverbs is given to assist us in the path of maturity. Verse 3. What are Proverbs about? To receive the instruction of wisdom. Note that. The instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity. Here it goes. Wisdom is not simply poured into you like you are some kind of waiting vessel. One teacher referred to the false idea of instruction as the from jug to mug model. That the teacher has the jug and you walk up with your mug, just pour it in. Just pour it in. Nuh-uh. There has to be an active reception of wisdom. Verse 3 says, to receive the instruction of wisdom. There's a reception to it. It's not like catching a cold or catching the wind as if you're some passive sail. You know what? I'm just hanging here, waiting for the wind to blow. Huh? It's more like catching a ball. It's more like catching a ball. Here we go, another baseball. Or football, or frisbee. It's more like there's an active, you have to learn that there's an instruction in reception. And you know what happens? There's a lot of dropped balls, dropped frisbees. There's instruction in wisdom. And so when we go into this, we're going, okay, I'm going to get it all now. No, there's going to be instruction. Son, daughter, children, you're going to fail. You're going to fall. You're learning how to receive wisdom. By the way, to receive the instruction of wisdom is absolutely essential for life. If you don't learn this, you are dying. You're dead. It's a diet of death to not be willing to receive the instruction of wisdom. It's a diet of death. Without receiving the instruction of wisdom, you realize this. You've got to learn how to receive it. You're going to drop a few things, but that you're going to learn through the drops, through the failures, through the falls. And as you do this, then you're going to learn how to make wise decisions. Apart from this, you're going to fail in areas of justice, judgment, and equity. You're going to end up making a whole bunch of foolish decisions. Why is it that I keep losing that job or can't get along with that person? Or why is it that my decision... Because I haven't learned to receive the instruction of wisdom. Verse 4, the Proverbs are given to give prudence to the simple. Who in here wants to say I'm simple? Nobody wants to do that. I could have begun that way. Okay, I'd like all the simple to raise their hand. And then we'd look around. Okay, you raise your hand, I'm going to raise mine. And that, well, I raise my hand in my heart. To give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. Okay, so this is just a toe tromper right here. This begins with humility, with the admission that we are simple, that we are naive, that we really don't know as much as we think we know. It's what John Calvin called learned ignorance. Learned ignorance. The Proverbs ends with the words of Agur, and this is how he begins his words in Proverbs chapter 30, verses 2 and 3. And we don't want to say this. Surely I am more stupid than any man, and do not have the understanding of a man. We don't want to say that. He says, I neither learned wisdom nor have the knowledge of the Holy One. Likely, he's saying, I neither learned wisdom, but I do have knowledge of the Holy One. Because you can't say that unless you have knowledge of the Holy One. Who in here wants to say, I'm simple? I need to begin down here. Tell me. Speak to me. Who wants to begin there? To give prudence to the simple. Simple, naive, you want prudence? First of all, you got to say, you know what, that's me. And then to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Whoo! One of the reasons why children are instructed throughout the Proverbs and throughout the Bible. Children. One of the reasons why children are instructed to receive wisdom, to receive counsel, instruction, and wisdom is because they are supposed to learn this at an early age or stage. And then they're to carry it through life. And you know what happens? They then realize, I'm not in charge. This isn't because of my wisdom and my accomplishments. I am naive. I am simple. I need. And by the way, this does not result in some kind of mealy-mousy, I don't know what to do. No, this results in this boldness of a lion and strength of a horse. Because I know where to get wisdom, and I know who holds all wisdom. But young men, children are addressed here because they need to hear this when they're young. By the way, that's why sometimes boys love athletic competition, and it's good for young men to learn how to lose. None of this, everybody gets a trophy. Get out there and learn how to lose with grace. Learn the lessons, the instructions. And by the way, children and children of God, we are not in charge. We are to be thirsty servants with thirsty ears like Samuel, who said, "Yes, Lord, speak, for your servant hears." 1 Samuel 3:10. Yes, Lord, speak, for your servant hears. But there's a warning. I'd like to share this right now. I'm very concerned about second generation covenant faithfulness. Right here in the middle. Parents, some of us have come through a denominational path to get to where we are. And some of our children, they don't know the path we went through. We teach them, we try to instruct them, and then sometimes a child grows and gets to the point where, you know what? I know what I'm doing. And then they tend to take the teaching of the parents or the path that the parents went through and they put it off to the side. This is a form of the foolishness of youth that is present in people that aren't that young anymore. Second generation covenant faithfulness is a very important matter. It should never be divorced from what our Lord has done in bringing you to this point. And there should always be a humility and a loveliness about this. But oh no, in congregation after congregation, there becomes this case of, you know what? I think I've got this. And we're going to deal with this in just a moment, even more so. But children, do you realize how often you're addressed at the beginning of Proverbs? It's been said that the first 9 chapters of Proverbs are all about mother and father speaking to the kids. Mom and dad speaking to the kids. My son, hear the instruction of your father, verse 8, and don't forsake the law of your mother. And you know what we do? We justify it. Well, you know, mom just doesn't get it. They don't see things the way I do. She's fussy. God's word doesn't allow that. Verse 10, my son, if sinners entice you, don't go there. You know what that means? That means dads are telling sons, I know what it means to be enticed by sin. I know the tickle and the pull and the smell. Son, I've been there. May smell real fine right now, but I tell you what, it's gonna kill you. Chapter 2, verse 1, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, incline your ear to do this. Do this. Chapter 3, my son, don't forget my law. Let your heart keep my commands so that you will have length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Do you know how many people think, you know what, I'm good. I'm wise. My son, excuse me, hear, chapter 4, verse 1, hear, my children, the instruction of a father and give attention. Give attention. You know what that means? You're giving something. It's not just, yeah, you know, the old line I used to hear. That go in one ear and out the other? As if there was just this tube. Ooh. No. Give attention. Pay attention. That's verse 4. To give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. You know what discretion is? Able to make wise decisions. He's going to look at a situation. He's going to hear a situation. He's going to look at his time. He's going to look at his responsibilities. He's going to go, I will choose wisely because I've been shaped by the instruction of God's Word, my loving father and mother. I now know how to... That's foolishness. I'm not going to go there. Verse 5. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. This is active. I'm going to hear, and I'm going to increase. I'm going to attain wise counsel. Here it is. I've said this to you before. There is no case of arrival-itis here. Like some people have a case of arrival-itis. Oh, I've made it. Looks like we've made it. There's no sense of being seated on Satan's pinnacle and saying, hey, would you like the rest of this? You're up there. Look, you've done really well. There's an ongoing learning and there's an increase of learning. Those with wisdom do not have the immaculate perception. If you're pursuing wisdom, it's an ongoing pursuit. You're not shelved. You're not going, okay, good. Proverbs 9, 7 through 9. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself. You ever gone to a scoffer? You're going to say, you know what? I got to talk to you about something. That scoffer then says, he just lays into you. Proverb goes on. He who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you, but rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man and he will increase in learning. Whew. I'm going to tie two things together here. If this doesn't happen, you're going to have... You will have the cry from the pit. There's a cry from the pit in Proverbs, and it's a fearful cry. And I know that there are moms and dads that talk to their children about this. I know that there are brothers and sisters in Christ that talk to each other about this. I've actually talked about this in prison before. Gone there and spoken to guys that are, you know, they're locked up. There's a cry from the pit in Proverbs, and you know what it is? It's a hellish cry of I wish I would have, I should have, I didn't. And now I fear it's too late. From Proverbs chapter 5, and this is in the context of foolish sensuality, where somebody doesn't control their urges, their bodies, they don't show self-control, they don't show the self-control of wisdom. And then all of a sudden they look back at their lives and their lives are just decimated. It's a debris trail. They're all busted up. And then they'll say something like this, you know, don't do this, you know, listen, stay away from her door. Don't go near the door of your house. Don't give your honor to others. It's your honor. Dads, you need to talk to your sons this way. Talk to your daughters. It's your honor. Why are you giving your honor to her? You got to do this in the right way. Proverbs actually speaks this way. We're going to read it as a congregation. Lest this happen, aliens will be filled with your wealth, laborers will go to the house, and your laborers will go to the house of a foreigner, and you will mourn at last. Here comes the cry from the pit. You will mourn finally at the end when your flesh and your body are consumed, and this is what you'll say. How I hated instruction, and my heart despised correction. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to those who instructed me. I was on the verge of total ruin in the midst of the assembly and the congregation. What desperation. You can hear those words. I hated instruction, and my heart despised being corrected. Just room. But a wise man will hear and increase in learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Verse 6, what else? It says to understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. You know why? There are mysteries in life. There are mysteries present. There are a lot of things you'll never know. Heights and depths and people. I don't get that person. I don't get them. I don't know why the Lord did that. There are mysteries. And then finally, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Later on in Proverbs, it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know what this is? Do you even know what wisdom is? That's why here it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. What knowledge must I have? It's to fear God and to grow in wisdom. That's what's necessary. All right, I'm going to end with some things that we're going to see in Proverbs. By the way, that's just kind of a scattershot right there. Without the fear of God, you know what that leads to or shows? Atheism. Atheism. Without the fear of God, you will find strident arrogance. Sounds like this. Who's to judge me? Who's to tell me what to do? Get out of here. Men's hearts are fully given to do evil. The book of Proverbs, however, you know what it will do? It will train you in obscurity. It will train you in the daily details when no one is watching. Really? I want to be seen. Okay, blow your horn, blow your trumpet, get out there in the street corner and just give out the money. No, Proverbs will train you in obscurity when no one is watching. Proverbs promotes training in the daily details of life, and here are some of the contrasts. Are you ready? Proverbs will deal with your bodies. Hey, get your hands off my butt. No. God's Word addresses things discreetly, appropriately, rightly. Your mouth and your ears will be addressed. How do you use your mouth? Who do you listen to? What do you listen to? Dainty morsels. Your feet and your hands, where do they go? What do they do? Why are you going there? Why do you walk on that path? And why are you doing that? Your eyes, what are you looking at? And your hearts. What are your passions? Proverbs will deal with your work and your labor. What do you do? So how do you spend your day? How do you manage the time God has given to you? What do you do with money, whether you're rich or poor? What do you do with sexuality? And the Proverbs addresses sexuality, both sanctified sexuality and sordid sexuality. They're both addressed. Life and death are put before us. Your sins are right in front of you as well as the sins of others. And you know what? You're taught to deal with your sins. And what to do with the fact that other people do sin as well? Husbands are addressed. Wives are addressed. Self-control is presented and the lack thereof. There are blessings and cursings, peace and anxiety, calm and anger, foolish children and wise children, graciousness and miserliness, houses established and houses crumbling down, the young and the old, wisdom and foolishness. May the Lord bless us, for we bear His name. And may we long to do so to His honor and to adorn the doctrine of God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.